This is Anita Louise with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's greatest stars. Actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio. Such famous names as John Payne, Joan Crawford, Dean Stockwell. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you on this 11th anniversary of our show, one of its very first stars and one of your favorites, Anita Louise. The story, Moonlight Sonata. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Carnation evaporated milk is simply good whole cow's milk concentrated to more than double richness. Only water is removed. As a result, when you pour Carnation from the can, it has the consistency of rich cream. It's heavy enough to whip, in fact. And of course, there's cream in every drop. So naturally, Carnation is ideal for most cream purposes. On the other hand, when milk recipes require that you dilute Carnation with an equal amount of water, even then you have milk that's richer than your state standard for bottled milk. Carnation costs far less than bottled milk, too, and less than half as much as cream. So use it freely. Use it for the extra richness it offers. Carnation, the milk that whips. And now, Act One of Moonlight Sonata, starring Anita Louise in the role of Raquel Fabre. Curtain going up.
They tell me, and my diary confirms it, that I was manager of the ladies' wear department in the most distinguished store in Upper Clay, New York, the Swank branch of one of New York City's finest stores. There had been some misunderstanding about alteration of an expensive suit for a woman, and the clerk appealed to me. Curiously enough, it was a young man, a Mr. Richard Mannering, whom I had to deal with. Even more curiously, the young man seemed to lose his composure when he saw me, stared at me while I tried to make some sense of our conversation. The young lady who waited on you says that there's some confusion over the alteration charges on Mrs. Mannering's suit.
Yes. Yes, confusion.
If there's any adjustment I can make for your wife.
Wife?
Yes. What may we do?
Oh, no, not my wife. Oh, no.
Mrs. Mannering, then. I beg your pardon.
Yes, my mother. Tell me your name.
Fabre. Raquel Fabre. I manage this department.
Fabre.
I wonder if you realize you're being very rude.
Raquel Fabre.
As I started to say, I will instruct Miss Kelly to make the adjustment.
You're lovely.
Either you're drunk or out of your senses or simply colossally impertinent. Excuse me.
Oh, no, wait, please. It's so important. Wait, please.
I returned to my office. Work became impossible until I found out who he was. Richard Mannering and his domineering mother were the last of one of the early New York families. The fact that they were the last of the line served to concentrate a substantial fortune in only two hands. Yes. And I began to regret my annoyance with Richard Mannering. Then shortly before the store closed for the day, manager's office, Miss Fabre.
Miss Fabre. Think what you like of my behavior in the store today, but forgive me. And you must let me see you again.
Mr. Mannering?
Yes. Will you have dinner with me tonight?
Well, this is all very odd, you know.
I know, but please bear with me.
I'd miss my train. You see, I commute between here and New York.
Well, let me drive you to New York. We'll have dinner there.
Well...
You must. I'll call for you in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
see, Miss Fabry, I'm not really mad, am I? Not really.
What an alarming reservation. Not really.
I made a spectacle of myself in a store today. I don't know what you think of me.
Neither do I. Yes.
Then you'll reserve judgment a while longer?
I'll have to, won't I?
That'll take some more time together, you know.
Yes. Yes, I know. It was all too easy, too pitiful. Richard Mannering's emotion to me was cat-like, and as bewildering as it was gratifying. He ignored all other women to worship me. And then there was a strange evening, as strange and disturbed as Richard and his mystic love. We'd been skiing in the Presidential Range and had stayed the latest before the darkening embers of the fireplace in the big lodge. It seemed the right time to find out more about the man I'd planned to marry.
Embers. Fire to embers to darkness. I wonder, can it go the other way again?
Richard.
Raquel, have you ever felt that something you're doing or experiencing has happened before?
I think everyone has had that experience. Why?
This has all happened before.
Are you going to have one of your moods again, dear?
Allow me this mood. Allow me to think that I love you as no man should love any woman. For the peace of his own soul, for the security of his own...
Don't say it.
Oh, why not?
I dislike extravagant sentiment.
I live for sentiment.
It's a fatal weakness in our armor, sentiment.
Is my love for you weakness?
Richard, why do you love me?
You mustn't question such things. No more than you'd ask the price of a gift. I love you. I can't tell you why.
Or you won't.
You've never been in love. I'm not sure you are now.
Because I ask questions?
Can't you accept things simply for what they are?
If I know what they are, Richard, I don't know you. I know little of your present and less of your past.
I know nothing of your past.
What? What do you want to know?
Nothing. No, not anything. Mm-hmm.
I respect you and marvel at you for being able to... love without question.
Oh, no, not without question.
What?
Not without question. Without questioning.
Do you doubt me, Richard?
Oh, Raquel, what's the difference? Take me on faith as I take you, and let there be an end of this probing and doubting.
Accept each other on faith.
Please.
This, unhappily, is a world of contracts and guarantees and not of blind faith, Richard.
Ever the efficient businesswoman, ever the manager of her department. And a success.
Yes. Yes, I am a success.
Yes, Raquel, a vital, dynamic, beautiful woman.
Somehow, the way you say it, it doesn't seem a compliment.
Good night, dear.
Very well, Richard.
Believe in me.
Very well.
If thou must love me, let it be for naught except for love's sake only.
Oh, and what have we there?
Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I thought you knew the poem.
No, that was for someone else, dear.
Raquel, stop tormenting me.
Tormenting? Then what do you call it when you quote poetry that suggests that I might love you for more than yourself alone?
I didn't know you loved me for anything. Though anything would be better than nothing.
You must be mad.
No. I don't know. Forgive me.
Forgive you?
I'll be all right tomorrow. Good night, beloved.
I didn't love Richard Mannering. I despised him. For his weakness. For his abject, almost ingenuous love for me. And yet, for what it was worth to me in position, wealth, and the wretchedness it would cause him, I must marry Richard Mannering. And since, oddly, he never spoke of marriage, I did. We'd been driving in the country and had parked on a bluff looking down on the Hudson. I decided that the hurt and silent matter suited my purposes best that night.
Cold, darling?
No.
Tired?
Not very.
Is something the matter?
No.
What is it?
Nothing, really. I may be entirely wrong.
Tell me.
It's about your mother.
Go on.
How long have we known each other? 6 months?
And a half.
And I've never met your mother.
Oh.
Which one of us are you ashamed of, Richard?
Raquel, what nonsense.
Oh?
Well, it's just that Mother's a very strange woman.
Don't you think she'll approve of me?
Why shouldn't she approve of you?
Or perhaps you think she'll approve too much.
What do you mean?
It might turn out embarrassingly for you. She might pick a wife for you.
Oh, that's it.
Don't misunderstand me, Richard. I'm no little thing looking for a husband.
I know that.
I'm simply accustomed to being treated frankly and, above all, with the respect and dignity I deserve and demand.
What do you want me to do?
Nothing. Just take me home.
After that?
Nothing. We won't see each other again.
No, Raquel, no. Sometimes I don't know what I'm saying or even what I'm thinking.
Perhaps you are mad.
Well, perhaps I am, but have pity on me for it. Raquel, be kind to me. Love me, Raquel. Love me.
I do love you, Richard.
Oh, Raquel, my dearest, my darling.
Hush. We're a couple of mischievous children trying to hurt each other.
But we mustn't.
Then let's forget it, shall we?
One way of fixing a hurt when you're little children is to run home to Mother. Raquel, I do want you to meet my mother. I want her to love you, too.
And that is how it was done. And there was part of the riddle of Richard's actions, his mother, who sent him to do her errands, who dominated him completely. I could get along with a woman like that. I did get along with her. She liked me the moment we stepped into her fine old Connecticut home. That very evening, Richard came leaping up the stairs into my candlelit room.
Darling, Mother likes you.
Oh, I'm so glad, dear.
It's all right now. Raquel, let me call a party here for Saturday night. Let me announce our engagement then.
Oh, Richard.
Say yes, darling. Say yes.
Oh, yes, darling. Yes. Yes. I thought I gave a rather nice, restrained, breathless performance. After gone, I walked slowly around the room with that smile on my lips. Poor man, I thought. Poor wretched bridegroom. And I laughed. And then suddenly stopped and shivered. And wondered why I hated him so.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Moonlight Sonata, starring Anita Louise, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here's Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, with a bright idea for Sunday morning breakfast. You name it, Mary.
Well, Art, in my column appearing in the June issues of some of the romance and home service magazines, I call it Eggs a la Carnation.
Which means?
Scrambled, Art. Plain and simple scrambled eggs, with one special difference.
They're made with Carnation.
Precisely. 1/4 cup undiluted Carnation evaporated milk to 4 eggs gives you 4 to 6 servings of some of the best scrambled eggs you've ever tasted.
Well, just how does Carnation improve scrambled eggs, Mary?
Oh, it makes them smoother and creamier, Art. Carnation is double rich, remember?
You say use 1/4 cup undiluted Carnation to 4 eggs. Is that right?
That's the combination, Art, for better scrambled eggs. Richer scrambled eggs, too, because Carnation itself is more than double rich.
Then you heartily recommend Eggs a la Carnation for tomorrow morning's breakfast. Hey, Mary?
I certainly do.
Folks, why not follow Mary Blake's excellent suggestion for smoother, creamier, better scrambled eggs? Tomorrow morning, make them with the milk that performs cooking miracles not possible with any other kind of milk. Make your scrambled eggs with Carnation, the milk from contented cows. We return now to the second act of Moonlight Sonata, starring Anita Louise in the role of Raquel Fabre. Raquel slept restlessly that night in the home of Richard Mannering, the wealthy young man she had determined to marry. Then suddenly, in the middle of the night, she sat bolt upright in bed. Someone was playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata downstairs. Who could be playing the piano at this hour? Raquel got up, threw on a dressing gown, and lit a candle. Grotesque shadows danced and postured on the walls. She moved toward the door. Then she stopped cold. She had passed the dressing table and its fine colonial mirror, and a wind that smelled of catacombs seemed to run through her. She had seen an image in the looking glass, but the image was not hers. Slowly, she turned to the glass and looked again.
Oh! Who are you?
You.
Who are you?
You.
What do you want of me?
Me.
Anthony, can't you anything but my own last words? Have you a mind? Have you a will? A life or a being? Anthony! Anthony, or I'll smash you! I'll smash you!
Raquel, what happened?
Happened?
Oh, I heard you scream and I ran up here.
Here?
I found you here unconscious and the glass in that big watercolor painting near the dresser was shattered.
Shattered?
Raquel, you're just repeating my last words.
I had a dream.
Are you all right now?
Yes, I can get up now. Help me and then go to bed, dear. I'll be all right now.
No more bad dreams last night, darling?
Here at breakfast, I can't even remember the one I had.
Are you subject to dreams like that?
I seldom dream.
Well, Mother's in town now getting a new glass for that picture you smashed.
I'm sorry.
Martin Luther threw an inkwell at the devil. My fiancé throws perfume at heaven knows what.
Maybe the same target.
Hmm?
It was a dream. Let's forget it. That night, strange music haunted my sleep again. I sat up suddenly in bed. I lit a candle. Slowly, I walked to the mirror. Behind the mist that breathed on the cold glass, sat the scene. The woman in the looking glass. I had to speak. I had to challenge her. Somehow, I felt my very soul was in the balance. I spoke. See here. Tell me, am I mad?
Mad.
Who are you?
You.
What do you want?
Love him.
Richard?
Richard.
Who loves him? You? You?
Not you.
I do love him.
You lie.
Wait. I think I know you.
You.
Let me see. Let me look.
Look.
One of us is mad.
Mad.
Not I. Not I.
You.
No.
Not I.
I.
Why do you torture him?
Him?
See, I am the stronger now. You are the echo now.
Now.
I've won. I'm stronger. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I fainted again, but made no outcry, and so Richard did not know of the second dream. The next evening was the evening of our engagement party. Shortly before the guests began to arrive, I went up to my room for a short nap before I dressed. When I woke up, it was to the candle half burned down, and that familiar, fiendish, lovely music shimmering in my brain again. I looked toward the mirror. Deliberately, I held my hand in the flame until the screaming pain ran up my arms and across my shoulders, flooding my body. This was no dream. One did not burn without waking up. I rose. I walked to the mirror. She was waiting for me. Well?
Well.
What do you want of me?
Me.
I'm tired. I can't fight you anymore.
Don't fight me anymore.
What do you want?
Love, Richard.
I do.
You lie. Go to the closet there.
Yes?
Pinned in black paper is a lovely gown.
Yes?
wear it.
Wear it?
Go. Go.
I went to the closet. I found the gown and black tissue. I put it on. It fit perfectly, beautifully. I went back to the mirror. I sat down. She was still there.
Now, your hair.
Yes?
Wear your hair as I wear mine.
Yes? There, I've done it. Now?
Now, look at yourself.
How? I've no image. Only you. You.
Look at yourself. Look.
I looked. The woman looked back. Then slowly, the mist on the mirror dissolved. For the first time, I saw the woman clearly. And she was beautiful. Beautiful and sweet. And she smiled at me as I looked. And I smiled back. And leaned closer. The image leaned closer. I lifted my hand to my hair. The image lifted her hand. I sat back again. The image sat back. And all at once I realized that the strange woman in the glass was gone. And that the reflection in the mirror was my own. At last. And then I heard Richard's mother rapping at the door, telling me that the guests were arriving. And I said, "Yes, Mother, yes." And she went away. Then I rose and went to the door. I went down the fine winding staircase. And one by one the guests turned to look up at me and to stare at me. And I knew that I was beautiful. And that Richard loved me and I loved Richard. And the piano stopped. I saw Richard come to me out of the crowd and his eyes were filled with wonder and adoration. And last of all, with a wild, unruly joy, he cried out to me.
Christina! Christina!
Richard!
You've been away for 6 long years. Since that terrible day when I let Mother send you away from me. Because she was strong and I was weak. Because she hated you and I adored you.
I only remember going away. To forget you. Forget your mother. Forget my hurt, my despair. The mind plays strange tricks to save itself from hurt. I forgot. Without knowing it, I became someone else. I became Raquel Fabre. Efficient, hard, cheeky.
And as Raquel Fabre, I found you again. That afternoon in the store.
I was seeking something. You. Something in my subconscious mind demanded an eye for an eye. A hurt for a hurt. Something out of the forgotten past urged me to find you. To hurt you as you'd hurt me. Then this house and the music.
You loved Moonlight Sonata when you were Christina.
And the image in the looking glass was myself. It was myself, but as I had been myself in the mirror 6 years before. Then things began to come back.
The image was your true self fighting to win you back. Oh, Christina, you were cruel and evil as Raquel. But I had to love you. Because you were so like Christina.
It's all over now, Richard.
Over. And just beginning.
Darling, you love me because I reminded you of Christina. Please. Please never hate me because I remind you of Raquel.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Moonlight Sonata. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Anita Louise. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Anita Louise?
Thank you, Art.
Anita, we're all indebted to you for giving us such a fine performance today. It was wonderful.
Well, that's very kind of you. It's been a great pleasure for me.
Incidentally, folks tell me you're quite an accomplished harpist. Your day must be full between acting and music.
And motherhood, Art. I have 2 healthy youngsters, you know. Both of them raised from the cradle on Carnation, by the way.
Well, in that case, Anita, you know that there's no finer milk for babies than Carnation evaporated milk. Isn't that so?
Indeed it is.
Carnation's store of important milk minerals and vitamin D is just what babies need for good bone and teeth development. And certainly, no milk could be easier to digest, even for the delicate systems of the tiniest babies. What's more, mothers know Carnation to be absolutely safe milk. Carnation is first pasteurized and then sterilized after the can is sealed. Is it really any wonder 8 out of 10 mothers who use Carnation say their doctor recommended it?
It's no wonder to me, Mom.
Nor to me. Carnation is the milk every doctor knows. And now, Anita, from a grateful sponsor to a splendid actress and Carnation mother, this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Oh, thank you so much, Art. They're very beautiful. Now, would you tell me what you've planned for next week's show?
Our star on next Saturday's Stars Over Hollywood show will be one of Movie Town's very young stars, Dean Stockwell.
Oh, he was so good in The Boy with the Green Hair. And the story?
It's a very touching play about a young orphan boy who wants a daddy so much he creates one. The title is Home's Not a Place.
I'll certainly be listening. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Anita. Miss Louise may currently be seen in the Warner Brothers production, Retreat Hell. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by Milton Geiger. Supporting Miss Louise were Bill Johnstone and Betty Lou Gerson. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. And the program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger, suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Dean Stockwell in Home's Not a Place. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.